My name is Lyndon Rachenka.
And my name is Stephen Call. We're the creators of Laundry Men Book 2, Blood of the Saucer Men.
And this is the True North Country Comics Podcast.
Welcome to the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to celebrate Canadian comic book and graphic novel creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Lyndon Rachenka and Stephen Call about The Laundryman Book 2, The Blood of the Saucer Men, published by Infinite Studio. Please like and subscribe to this website by hitting the subscribe button so you'll be notified about new podcast interviews and article posts. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are enjoyed. Please like, follow, and subscribe. Lyndon Rachenka is a writer, award-winning letterer, and sometimes, but not right now, lawyer from Winnipeg, Manitoba. You may have read his words, seen his letters, or watch him act. He's written Infinite Universe, Hero Man, The Laundryman, and There Was Another Life. As a comics letterer, Lyndon has put his name to too many projects to list. In 2020 and 2023, he won the Sequential Magazine Award for Favorite Letterer. Stephen Call is an illustrator, also hailing from Winnipeg, Manitoba. It was there that he grew up, where he learned to draw, and where he learned the meaning of a good, warm jacket. He's illustrated many short stories, as well as some awesome upcoming works, including Dirk Dirksen and the Demons from Mars with Jonathan Ball, The Laundryman, and There Was Another Life, with Lyndon. Infinite Studio is an art collective consisting of creators Stephen and Lyndon. Informally formed in 2017, these creators began with a mission of making meaningful and high-quality work. Since its inception, the founders of Infinite Studio have been involved in countless published and independently created comics, stories, and commissions. The Laundryman is an ongoing comic series about two mercenary monster hunters who operate out of a laundromat. In Book 2, Blood of the Saucerman, caught on opposing sides of a timeless conflict, will Wade and Brian be torn apart? So, without further ado, here's my chat with Lyndon Rachenka and Stephen Call about The Laundryman Book 2, The Blood of the Saucerman, published by Infinite Studio. So, Lyndon Rachenka and Stephen Call, thank you very much for taking time to chat with me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, such a pleasure, John.
I appreciate your time. Before we get going with all the questions, I would like to know, what was the first comic book that you read? And I'll ask Lyndon if you could go first.
Ooh, I'm trying to remember. I didn't fully get into comics until my teens, but I remember I used to get taken to the comic book store when I was, six, seven, eight. And I remember a lot of Spider-Man and I remember a lot of Batman, but I don't remember which specific issue in those days stood out to me. It would be like maybe a Spider-Man 2099 issue stands strong in my mind. But I remember it was the New 52 Batman series in my teens that really, really sucked me in and kept me going to where I am today.
Cool. How about you, Steven? What was the first comic book that you read?
First comic book that I read, I don't remember the year, but it was the late 90s. It might have been early 2000s, but I got an issue of Peter Parker, Spider-Man from 7-Eleven. And I don't remember the issue number, but the villain was a guy named Fusion. And he looked like, he wore a black tight suit with a yellow mask that looks kind of like Dr. Fate. But he was basically a Skrull that looked different. He could turn his limbs into different superhero limbs. I don't think he was long-lived. I didn't really read a lot of comics as a kid. So what really brought me into it in the era of drawing comics was probably Mr. Miracle. So like Tom King and Mitch Garrett's there.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, not to derail the conversation, but at the time of this recording, the Supergirl movie trailer just dropped. One of the things, I won't go into it too much, but one of the things that really heartened me at the end was they actually said and showed a picture of the Tom King Supergirl graphic novel.
Great
at
book.
The end. And
great
I thought, this is tremendous. The fact that they're encouraging people not just to see the movie, but read about it. And I think that's really important to get people back into the comic books and graphic novels. Reading is very important. That's for sure.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. So we met up a couple of times in 2025, and we chatted a wee bit at the Fan Expo Canada event and the Prairie Arts Festival. So I want to ask you both, how did those events turn out for you? And maybe Lyndon, I'll ask for your opinion first.
Completely different events in terms of what type of show they are, right? The Fan Expo Canada is the largest comic pop culture convention in Canada, one of the largest in North America. And Prairie Comics Fest is an indie comics festival located in Winnipeg, Manitoba, much, much smaller in scope. So that's you're really asking about the full range of those two shows. The crowds are so different. And the conversations we have are so different, but in good ways. At the Fan Expo Canada in Toronto, that is the show that I look forward to the most each year in terms of connecting or meeting professional mainstream comic makers that I've looked up to. So, like this year, we met Jason Aaron and we re-met Mitch Gerrits, who we had met a number of years prior and got to share sort of our work that we had built. And then I felt more like at the Prairie Comics Festival, we are firmly like entrenched or established comparatively to a lot of people. It felt like we had a large table of books, and the conversations were more about craft and how to make things and how to make a living in the indie comic space. So both fill different cups. For me, they were both excellent. And obviously, John, it was so great to see you at both of them.
Well, that was tremendous seeing you folks there too. Stephen, maybe you could just pinpoint maybe one thing that stood out for you at both events. Was there any sort of highlight for you?
Like Lyndon, Fan Expo is definitely like the big one we always look forward to. Like, I'll repeat that. But when you're at Fan Expo, it's a sea of people. Just, it doesn't stop. There's constantly people going by. And it feels like every time you get someone who stops and is like, oh, I like comics and not just Batman, it's like this great fantasy glittery moment. And you're just like, oh my goodness, they're going to love my book. And I just love that about Fan Expo, where it feels like you're just grinding all day and just trying to stay on your feet. And then every time someone in this sea just kind of like comes forward and looks at your book, it's a really great contrast. And then like with Prairie Comics Festival, like we're there, it's our home show, it's our home independent comics show, and that environment is just wonderful. Especially as the show grows, when you're getting more well-known independent people to like speak to and learn from. Like Lennon said, like it's almost like we're a little more established group there with the books that we create. And so you have newer people coming to us and asking us questions, and then being able to go from there and find people to ask questions to who are larger in the independent comic space. I love that about Prairie Comics Festival.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that. Appreciate it. So we're here talking about your ongoing series called The Laundrymen. And right off the bat, I got to ask, what is the story all about? Maybe up to this point, and maybe what's going on in book two. And maybe Lyndon, you could start things off.
Sure, yeah. The Laundryman is a graphic novel series about two monster hunters, Wade and Brian, who work at the laundromat and they solve supernatural mysteries. We're building this series in an episodic fashion. So each volume of that book is going to stand alone as a story with a sort of underlying storyline that weaves throughout each of the volumes. We like to describe each volume as a single case file of the Laundryman. Book one, which was released in 2023, and I believe it is being released to wider worldwide distribution retail in 2026. It is the first, what we call the first case file in the Laundryman series, and it's about Wade and Brian who are trying to investigate a series of murders and disappearances in Wade's hometown, and they get sort of sucked into the history of that and the theme of not wanting to see things that are in front of us. That was a lot of fun. That book has opened so many doors for Stephen and I, both professionally in terms of the people that we've been able to share it with, the editors that we've been able to share it with. And it's just The Laundryman as a series has done so much for me professionally that I can speak to that I'm so excited that we're going to be releasing book two in 2026. I'll let Steven chime in on what that series means to him and also a little bit of what people can expect from book two in 2026.
Laundromat is like deeply important to me in that, like Lynette said, it's given us a lot of opportunities, but just in itself, in our own personal endeavors to grow our profiles as comic creators and our presence at shows where we're showing people our books, Laundromat has given us so much success there. It's always great to tell people that, like, since that book, Lyndon and I have just like been able to, I don't know, fund ourselves to do all these shows, to sell these books, to print all these successive books after that. It's just a very important thing that that book has shown us what you can do if you finish the work in comics and like what you can accomplish without having to have done work for, say, the big two or something, what you can accomplish on your own. And that's just what that book means to me. And when it comes to the second book, like Lennon said, the first one came out in 2023, and we have the second one coming out in 2026. And it's a bit of a gap for issue one to issue two. So it's taken me a long time to actually finish issue two. So it's deeply meaningful to me to actually get this one done. And I'm very excited to put those two books side by side because my progression as an artist has, like, not just from issue one to two, but from like act one to act two to act three of issue two, the progression I find is absolutely insane. And I love to see that sort of change, especially with all the new characters we introduced in the second book and all the new concepts. It's definitely like an entire echelon above the first one. And I think people who read the first one are going to be kind of blown away with the second one. So
book two is titled Blood of the Saucer Men. And for the listeners who have met us and have had a chance to check out book one, that book ends with Brian being kidnapped and unceremoniously stuffed into a van at the end of the book. And so book two picks up right as that has happened and follows Brian and Wade as they sort of end up in this, for lack of a better term, gang war between aliens and vampires who have co-opted werewolves to try and hunt them down. And Brian being kidnapped ends up on one side, and Wade, while searching for Brian, ends up on the other side. And so we get to see these two characters who spent all of book one together, sort of separated, and we show who they are as people individually as they try and find their way back to each other.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that preview copy, because I didn't want to give away that sort of twist, but you just did there, which is very interesting. Not what I expected when I was reading that book, for sure.
Yeah, well, we hope you had a couple more surprises in there.
Sure. Now, they say that any creator should make the book or story for themselves, but I've got to ask you, who ultimately is the audience for your books?
Honestly, we try to make the book so that it's accessible to everybody, but we're definitely trying to tap into that prime time monster of the week, supernatural action enjoyer. That's pretty niche. But we also want to bring other people into that because that kind of thing is very important to us as well, be it X-Files, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Supernatural, anything like that. But we do truly make the books. The books are for us, though, when we're making them, because
totally,
I wouldn't be able to slog for 3 years to finish this thing if I wasn't enjoying every panel that I was making, if I wasn't drawing the things that I love to draw and Lyndon wasn't writing the things that he loves to write. So we are audience number one, but we hope we can bring everybody else into that to enjoy all the things that we love to.
And I mean, even at a craft level, when I'm writing, my audience for a script is just Steven. I'm writing for myself, but primarily Steven is going to be the one who's reading the script. And then it's when we actually sort of collaborate and meet and our ideas sort of meet in the middle, that's where the real story comes from and where we invite others, readers, in with their ideas and their hopes for the story. And we try to give them something that's meaningful to us that they can recognize in themselves.
Okay. Thanks, Lyndon. Appreciate that. Now, this is book two in the series. This is probably an obvious question, but are you encouraging new readers to go back and read the first book so they fully understand the characters and stories? Is that your intent, Lyndon?
Yes and no, in the sense that I think that, say, we're at a show and we have both of the books available on our table. Obviously, we would love for a new reader to take home both of them. But if they can only take one, they can choose which one feels like it will resonate the most with them. And I think that each volume will stand up as its own story. And then they can choose after that whether or not they would want to come back for the first one, if that makes sense. So, yes, obviously, I would love for them to read more and become, more enveloped in our world. But the way we've built this series, because we are two creatives who travel to shows and we primarily sell these books by hand to people, is that I want to sell them books that does not require them to have to track us down another time if they don't want to. There's this idea in convention land where certain readers or people that stop at your table, you can only count on seeing them that one time forever. And so we try to focus on books that have complete stories in them because those are the types of books that the people at these shows are going to be more likely to be willing to take a chance on. And because of that, yes, please buy both books by all means. Keep our lights on. But if you can only take one, we've built the story so that that's doable, that's possible. That's more than we can ask of anyone.
Right. Lyndon, you mentioned how you're creating for your collaborator, Stephen. So, Stephen, I've got to ask you about the collaboration process. Can you walk me through how it works? You just get a script and you go away and work on it, or how does this thing work for you?
I mean, it is very simply, it's that, but how it generally works with a book is Lennon and I will sit, and it might happen over time through different conversations, or it might happen all at once, like sitting at a show or something. We will brainstorm the book. We'll kind of brainstorm the rough beats that we want, what we want the characters to do, how we want it to maybe lead into the next book, what we're taking from the previous book. And then Lennon will go and he will write the full script. And then I'll take 3 years to make the book. No, I'm just kidding. But like he'll write the whole script and then I will start drawing. Generally, for the last couple things we've made, because originally I didn't like thumbnail and stuff like that. I didn't really know the process or why you would do that. And then over time I learned it. I'd take that, I would break it down, break down all my panels, explain what's happening in each page. And then Lennon and I would take a look at it, see how we feel about it, make any changes that need to be done. And then I go and draw it. Because of the way I am and my life is pretty busy, I tend to like draw it in the moments that I have. So I might rack up 5, 10 pages before I show Lyndon anything because I'm not thinking about getting them sent out. I'm thinking about getting them done when I'm in that moment. Sometimes it's pretty much me going away and drawing, and then I come back. But when I'm drawing, much like Lyndon is writing for me, I'm also drawing for Lyndon because he's written these words down, these sequences. Sometimes he's given me a choreographed action sequence to draw, and I go through it. I'm like, oh, these beats are great. Can I solve this puzzle? Can I do justice to what he's written? And then sometimes he'll be like, okay, Steve, this is 3 pages. This is happening in these pages. It's your turn. You direct these pages. So in both situations, I can't wait to like finish it and be like, look what I did with your work. And
Yay.
I love that collaborative, that feeling where I can like impress him with what I've done with his words. I like that a lot.
And I like giving Steven cool things to draw,
Yeah.
or
Well,
letting him
that
choose his own cool things to draw.
sure. Well, that's a beauty, I guess, of and Stephen, you just said direct, and I think Lyndon, that gives you a perfect opportunity to talk about the fantastical. You're dealing with these fantastic characters, whether they're aliens or monsters. You don't have to worry about putting it to film, with a comic book. The sky's the limit, I guess, right?
Totally, yeah, totally. It's one of the things that separates comics from film, and it's something that Steven and I have talked about in the past, is that comics are not limited to a film budget the same way that movies are. And so you can try out new big ideas in ways that they can't do in the film industry. And so we have a lot of fun trying to imagine new scenarios and sort of what are things that can only happen in comics. And I think that's a recurring conversation, especially right now in the industry, is what separates the comics industry from the film industry and how can comics celebrate their own medium? We have a lot of fun trying to come up with those ideas while also trying to stay true to sort of a, we have a grounded in a certain way. Like, this is a supernatural horror series, but we have a level of grittiness to the series that we really established in the first Laundryman book. And with Laundryman 2, and I'm going to quote an artist friend of ours who was reading our advanced copy, who is an established artist at all of the major comics publishers. And he said, in book two, our sets are getting bigger, our stories are taking the next step. This is really an expansion of the world we're building, both in the sense of more characters and more situations, but also just sort of in the scope of the problems we're dealing with. Our first book is very much reclusive, small town murder mystery, and this is like a high octane action movie. Every chapter and the vehicle of this series lets us push these envelopes more and more each book. I'm just so excited for this book and all the future books.
Yeah, sounds exciting. We keep talking about book two, which is the big push for
Yeah.
2026. Can I ask Lyndon, does that mean that there's book three, four, five on the way? Is that planned in ahead, or are you just doing it as it comes along?
Book three is already written, actually. Stephen and I were fortunate enough to receive Canadian grant funding from the Winnipeg Arts Council, the Manitoba Arts Council, and the Canada Council for the Arts that essentially funded our first three books. So those books are already, our page rates are paid for. We're producing them. The script for book three is finished. And I think our dream would be to do at least 12 books, 13 books. I'm trying to figure out what the math is here. But
I knew,
the
yeah, it would
ants.
be like 20. Oh, yeah, 17 books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the answer is, as long as we have ideas that excite us and the readership keeps coming and we can continue to grow and make the time for these books, we'll keep making them. But the more definitive answer to your question is yes, book three is already planned. We have concepts for book four, but we're just trying to finish book two first.
Well, Stephen, I know that you've just picked yourself off the floor after hearing that, but I got to ask you, as an artist, are you changing your workflow to meet this ongoing story, or are you sticking with what you've done before and you're going to continue with that sort of process in terms of tool sets and that sort of thing?
With the Laundryman, if there is change over time with how I make it, it'll be gradual. At least within one book, I don't want to completely change from, like, at some point cover to cover. I would like to, and I say this a lot, I would like to go to a traditional medium one day, but with my current life and schedule, digital on the iPad is much more convenient and much more conducive to getting work done. Whether it'll be a Laundryman book in the future or another story that we do together, I definitely will evolve how I make the books for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking originally at the outset about events where we met up in 2025. Do you have any events planned for 2026, Lyndon? Anything on the books right now, or is it still under wraps?
So Stephen and I operate under a banner called Infinite Studio. And so that banner will be flying high at the Calgary Expo in April, the Toronto Expo in August, the Winnipeg show, our local show, the Winnipeg Comic Con, that's in October. We're also going to participate in the Prairie Comics Festival. Again, assuming we get accepted, everything, there are applications for certain shows that we're still hoping to get into that haven't opened yet. But our motto is that we try to do 5 to 10 shows a year. Maybe at some point that will expand. Last year, I attended the San Diego Comic-Con as an attendee, not as a vendor. And then the year prior, last year, Stephen and I both attended the New York Comic-Con as attendees, not as Infinite Studio. So we make an effort to exhibit at or as many of the major Canadian conventions as possible, given the difficulties between what is going on right now between Canada and the United States. And then one or both of us typically tries to make it out to one of either New York or San Diego each year, both to meet other creatives and to try and meet editors that we've been corresponding with and to continue to build our professional networks. It's all part of what has allowed Stephen and I to continue our respective creative careers that continue to grow year in and year out. And we're going to try and stick with that.
Sounds good. Now, with everything that we've just been talking about, both books and events, I'm wondering where people can find you online. Stephen, maybe I should ask you that question. Where can people find you online?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a website that kind of is a catch-all for everything. It's www.infinitestudio.ca. And there you can find a web feedback form as well as links to all of our social. And we have a web store there as well if you want to order digital or hard copies of the books.
Yeah, you can also find our Laundryman Book 2, which we've been spending all this time talking about, is currently in its pre-launch stage on Kickstarter at laundryman.ca. That campaign is going to go live at the start of February, February 2nd. The listener can go and sign up for the pre-launch right now at laundryman.ca. We're going to be selling both of our Laundryman books through that Kickstarter, and it's going to go for a month. And then once the Kickstarter ends, laundryman.ca will continue to exist. It'll point towards our website. So laundryman.ca is always going to be the place that will lead you to the newest Laundryman book development.
Thanks to Lyndon and Stephen for taking time to chat with me. You can discover more about Lyndon on Instagram at LRADCHENKA. And you can discover more about Stephen on Instagram at StephenCallArt. You can discover more about Infinite Studio at infinitestudio.ca. And you can check out The Laundryman number 2 on Kickstarter at thelaundryman.ca. And thank you for tuning in to the True North Country Comics podcast. Invite you to visit the True North Country Comics website to listen to even more conversations with creators about making comic books and graphic novels. I also encourage you to subscribe via the website to be notified about new podcast interviews and article posts. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are enjoyed. Please like, follow, and subscribe. You can follow True North Country Comics on most social media sites, and you're encouraged to send any and all feedback to john@truenorthcountrycomics.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2026.